The text this morning is Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 8 through 20. I suspect that this is not the first time you will have heard this text in recent times, and it will not be the last, quite possibly. But it is the text for the sermon today. So Luke 2, 8 through 20, and then we'll seek the Lord's help, and then the sermon will come. So let's give attention to the word. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of our Lord. May he add his blessing to its reading. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do rejoice together today in the good news of Jesus Christ. We are so glad that we belong to you and are able, by the power of your Spirit, to hear and understand the word of promise that will come to us today. We want to learn. We want to love the scriptures more and more. We want to live happily with the gospel of peace and comfort set upon us and moving within us. Lord, we, your children, are here. Feed us and move us to deeper understanding and fresh resolve to serve you all our days. We ask these things in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. It was my pleasure for some years to give good news to shepherds in the Karamojong fields of rural Uganda. I loved explaining the gospel to them, and I loved telling them how honor came to shepherds just like them when they received an amazing message, the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. Shepherds in present-day Karamoja are like those who lived and worked when Jesus was born. They are young men, often boys, usually. They do not enjoy the respect of their people. They're not given much attention at all, actually. They move about driving animals from one place to another, and that's about it. They have an important job, if not a coveted one. No one in Karamoja aspires to be a shepherd. Shepherds in Jesus' day were also marginalized figures. They were not respected. They were assumed to be thieves, actually, and which is strange because they had the very important task of caring for animals, some of which would be used for sacrifices for God's people. But still, they suffered under a reputation that you and I would not enjoy. But what a great honor they were given as the first recipients of the most important birth announcement in all of history. And what an important task they had to give this report of good news that had come into the world, news for all people. This morning I want us all to rejoice in this news, this very news that the shepherds received. It is good news, it is the best news, it is news that delivers us from death and sin and hell and promises us life everlasting. So I want us all to hear this good news together, and I want us to receive the news under these 3 points. So if you're interested in outlines, here it is for you. Good news announced, good news described, and good news pursued. So we'll take up the message under those three heads. Good news announced. Imagine a dark, quiet night. Can't say how dark or even how quiet necessarily, but when I consider a city life or suburban life, the life I have mostly known, I'm quite sure it was very quiet and very dark by comparison, with very little going on. Imagine it. You're doing your job. You're watching the flock. And then with no advanced warning, the silence is broken and the darkness displaced by the presence of God's glory. It is bright. And it's all around you. What would you do? How would you feel? We don't have to wonder how the shepherds felt. The Bible tells us. They were filled with great fear. It's there in verse 9. This was the case with other figures in the Bible, wasn't it? The sight of God's manifested glory produced fear in the hearts of people. Decades later, the apostle John will drop to the ground as if dead when he found himself in the presence of Jesus' face, which was like the sun shining at full strength, Revelation 1:17. And Christ's words to John were the very same words that were heard by the shepherds. Fear not. Fear not, I am the first and the last. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What a declaration. What a birth announcement. We're all familiar with birth announcements, aren't we? God gives us little ones to welcome into the world and into our family, and we rejoice when we hear such announcements. But our babies are not announced like this one. I don't know how interested you are in the royal family, as we sometimes call them, but it's possible that you remember the birth of Prince Louis 6 years ago, William and Kate's youngest. The announcement got the attention of all British subjects, of course, and some people in our country as well. But if you were to pass by Buckingham Palace on April 23rd, 2018, you would have read the following sign. I'm going to read it to you. Her Royal Highness, the Duchess of Cambridge, was safely delivered of a son at 11:01 a.m. today. Her Royal Highness and her son are doing well. Shall I keep reading? I can't, because there's nothing left to read. That was it. Simple. To the point. Interesting that it is the mom who is delivered, not the baby. It's still a very, very brief statement of the fact. And our announcements are like that too. They're brief, just the facts, with maybe an additional request to rejoice with the parents, or maybe some measurements. But this one in Luke 2, though it is brief, it was filled with grace and joy and promise. There was never an announcement before, and will never be another one like this. And with the statement of the Lord's birth came the promise of a sign. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Doesn't seem like much of a sign, really, does it? The sign that a baby is born is a baby who has been born. He's wrapped up, as babies are, and he's lying in a manger, a place where animals like those guarded by the shepherds find their food. It might seem that the sign of God's glory surrounding the shepherds, or the sign of the angel's message to the shepherds, would be far more interesting and significant than finding a newborn in Bethlehem. But this is all to the point. God is now with us, dear shepherds. He is, as the Apostle Paul will later write, manifested in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. He's really here. He is fully here. He came from heaven, entered the world, and is just like other children you might visit at their birth. He is poor, like you are. He is a baby, like you were. And when you see the sign, you will know that your Savior has come. And then began the concert. Verse 13. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The greatest birth announcement ever made was accompanied by the greatest choir ever heard. An army of angels came and joined the one. And together, they worshiped. They sang the praises of God. Or shouted, possibly. At least they used words that offered praise to the God of heaven. So they gave their doxology. And then they went away. They finished their song, left the shepherds in the field, and they returned to heaven. And so, there they were again, shepherds in the field watching sheep. Shepherds who, by the way, pictured the one who would come and save them. The one who had come and will save them. The good shepherd, John chapter 10. The great shepherd, Hebrews 13. The chief shepherd, 1 Peter 5. And the seeking shepherd, Luke 15. I hope you're all amazed by this. This announcement and this angelic chorus was not delivered to governors or a high priest or a king or anyone seen as important or influential in those days. Herod was not there. Caesar was not invited to the concert. The angels came to shepherds and delivered with what had to be very high volume praises to the God of heaven. I can't imagine bright glory and whispering praise, can you? And it was praise. The angels had no self-interest. They delivered a message from God and offered worship to God. Glory to God in the highest is what they said. And they worshiped in the presence of a few shepherds on a hillside. And then As quickly as they appeared, they were gone. The silence returned. The darkness returned. And the shepherds all agreed on what to do next. Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. So what can we say about this good news? How can it be described? There are so many amazing words in this announcement that magnify Christ and bring help to all of those who believe in him. I think you see them there. Jesus brings joy, verse 10. It is the Christian duty to rejoice in the Lord, and Christ's birth equips us to do so. Rejoice in the Lord always, Philippians 4:4. Again, I will say it, rejoice. It is the gospel of joy. Jesus brings peace, peace on earth, as the angel put it. Not that everyone on earth will get along, but that God is actively reconciling people in this world to himself through the work of the Son he sent. And this is not a matter of human effort. It is an outflow of God's favor. He is pleased to do his work for his people and his glory. The news is so good that one word will not suffice to describe it. Joy, peace, even the word Savior, the name Christ, the word glory, all of these words and more preach to us the good news that has come with the arrival of a baby in Bethlehem. The one word I want to highlight is not actually in the promise, but it is there indirectly in the first two words spoken by the angel, fear not. Here's another way to put what the angel said when he used those words. It's from Isaiah 40, another text that you may have heard this season. Comfort my people. This is a gospel of comfort, not of fear. It is so important, brothers and sisters, that you believe the gospel we have been given is a gospel of comfort. The angel told the shepherds, fear not. Not because fear was an inappropriate response to the witness of glory, but because what the angel came to announce was the antidote to whatever fear they felt. The gospel is news of consolation, a message of comfort. It is good news precisely because it frees people from their slavery to fear. You know these words, Hebrews 2, verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things. And through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Fear, particularly fear of death, is a terrible master. And there are many who are mastered by it, though very few speak of it. But I do believe that there are many in our world who live in fear. Do you? Are you afraid of something today? Are you afraid of death? Jesus will liberate you from that fear if you trust in him. This angelic message, fear not, is for you. If you know Jesus, if you rejoice in his birth and are cleansed by his blood. Voltaire lived in 18th century France. He hated the good news and he mocked those who believed it. Most of you have read or will at some point read something that Voltaire wrote, and maybe you know that he was a man who died without hope. He did not die without fear. Here is one record of something he said on the day he died. Speaking to someone in the room, he made this offer. I am abandoned by God and man. I will give you half of what I am worth if you give me 6 months' life. It's chilling, isn't it? He was desperate. He was in despair, feeling that his life was fading away. Although I do wonder why he didn't offer more than half of his wealth. But to give you a sense of how determined he was to remain in his unbelief, let me read this. A priest urged him near the end to renounce Satan. Voltaire said this, "It is not the time to make new enemies." Those may have been his last words. There's always some doubt about last words, but surely if these accounts are right, the man died as he lived, an enemy of the good news. Voltaire had reason to fear, but he did not have an excuse. The good news was available to him, and as far as we know, he did not receive it. Isn't it wonderful, as a child of the living God, to be freed from fear? Fear of death, fear of anything. Isn't it good that the comfort we have in Jesus is not comfort in words alone? There are words that we may use and have heard that really have very little power. And maybe you have heard some of these. Don't be afraid. Things will work out. It'll be okay. Your troubles will pass. And these words are okay in the right context, but they really don't do anything to bring comfort to the fearful. Jesus came and lived and died and rose from the dead to rescue the fearful, those who come to him with their fears and find comfort and hope in Jesus. Your comfort is the result of God fulfilling his promise that he would send a son, and that son would give his life for the sins of God's people. Here's a list of 10 things to do when fear comes. They don't come from the Bible, they don't come from me, but they do come from the National Health Service of the United Kingdom. So here they are. Are you ready? Are you afraid? Here's some things that the NHS suggests. Take time out. Breathe through panic. Face your fears. Imagine the worst. Look at the evidence. Don't try to be perfect. Visualize a happy place. Talk about it. Go back to basics. And then reward yourself. There you go. These are coping measures, I guess, and they might help. But where's the baby? Where is worship your king? Where is put your trust in Jesus Christ? It's not on the list. It doesn't even make the top 10. Where are the words of the angel? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This is not one thing that might help some people. It is the only thing that will help any people. Fear not. Your Savior has come. His is a gospel of comfort, deep, lasting comfort, cannot be found anywhere else. So fear not, children of God, this gospel is true, and the gospel is for you. Interesting the words given by the angel, for to you is born this day. We don't speak that way, do we? We say to Jack and Sally is born a daughter or a son. Why did the angel say that Jesus was born to shepherds? Because he came into the world to them and for the world. Jesus is their Savior. Jesus is our Savior. Unto us a child is born. Isaiah 9. He is ours. And we are his. Glory to him. Good news pursued. The shepherds did not delay. Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. The Bible says that they went with haste. They knew the message was from God. They knew they had to leave their sheep and head to Bethlehem. They knew they would see the sign, and they did see him. There he was with Mary and with Joseph. There's no reason to think that the shepherds behaved any differently than you and I would when visiting a newborn. They saw him. They shared their joy with mom and dad. They picked up the baby, commented on his cuteness, or his hair, or his lack of hair. These things are not in the text, and I don't know how such visits went in the first century, but I'm sure that the shepherds conducted themselves according to the customs of the day. We don't know everything they said, but we do know that they shared their story and the message that came. How could they not talk about that? They received the good news and shared what they received. And all the people wondered. Here's a question. Are you surprised when you hear the rest of the shepherd's story? It's there in verse 20. And the shepherds returned. That's it. That's it. They finished their visit and went home. No book contract? No talk show appearances? Yeah, surely they must have been powerful preachers, at least that. Why not? They were chosen to receive the most important announcement ever, one that would literally change the world. And no one else heard it. God sent an angelic choir just for them. Surely that is a story for ratings and sales. But no, they went back to their sheep. They served the Lord in the life and work that God gave to them. But they went back as changed people, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. I want us to close by looking back and then looking ahead. This birth announcement that was sent to the shepherds was an amazing wonder. But it was not the first one. Unlike birth announcements we make, the one introducing Jesus was made several times before the birth took place, centuries before the birth took place. Here's one, you'll know these words, Micah 5:2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. It's good for us to reflect on the big picture. God's intention, his unalterable plan to direct the course of history for his glory and for the salvation of his people. We could take another sermon or two just to reflect on the cascade of events leading to the very moment The fullness of time, as Paul put it, Galatians 4, the very moment when Jesus was born. You get a sense of this at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke and the registration that brought Joseph and Mary and preborn Jesus to Bethlehem, just verses in chapter 2. That's the look back. And now for the look ahead. I want to suggest that we zoom out a bit and look at the Gospel of Luke from the bird's eye. It begins with a baby wrapped in linen and a call to shepherds to go and see. It ends with linen too. But those who went saw nothing wrapped in it. He is there in Bethlehem. Go and see. He is not there in the tomb. He is risen. Go and tell. We often say that Jesus came into the world in order to die, and that is absolutely true. Christ, the Son of God, became a man so that he could obey and suffer. That's how the Child's Catechism puts it. He had to die in order to save us from our sins. Absolutely. That's our hope. We would be without hope if Christ did not die. But it is also true, and necessarily true, to say that he came into the world in order to rise from the dead and secure life everlasting for all who trust in him. This Son of God was born, and he lived, and he died, and he rose, so that sinners would turn to him and have life everlasting. And he is inviting you today to trust in him. I hope that you do. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for promising us life. Thank you for Jesus, the one who came into the world and lived among the people and died for our sins and rose with power. We long to know this Savior of ours more and more, and we want to make him known to the world. We thank you for the peace and joy that we have in him. Thank you for the comfort that we have in him. And help us, Lord, to fear not, knowing your perfect love that drives it out. And help us to honor you in our hearts, in our work, and in all things that life brings us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's rejoice together with our hearts and voices as we sing hymn 299, Joy to the World. Let's rise together and sing.